For tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, September the 1st, 1986, Labor Day. Final service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance seminar that was held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Steve Bell is the speaker of the morning.
Now, I really feel that this morning, there's a lot of things, you know, we could get into that I haven't near, that I'd like to share with you, but maybe for another time, because there's only so much that we can hold on to. And I know it might be old and trite to you, but we need to talk again about keeping our deliverance. I don't think enough is said about that, and we just need to look at that. So we always go over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and we talk about the armor of God. And I'm finding more and more that we need to emphasize this more and more for people to hold their deliverance. It's important. It's really important. So there in Ephesians 6, it talks about the wrestling. And you see, as we were laying over on the floor here yesterday with Brother Corey, so many times God will demonstrate what we teach with signs and wonders. And see, that was a sign of what had been taught. See, the word's still up there, wrestle. See. And we talked about the intimacy of it and the closeness of it, and you could smell and you could, you know, and it was all there. And so God says, I'm going to demonstrate now my word with signs following. And that was a sign following. It was a prophetic sign in an individual's life, but it was a prophetic sign for the corporate church, because in the way we wrestle with individuals, eventually we'll come together and wrestle with principalities and bring them down. It'll be exactly the same. Exactly the same. And until you really wrestle with a principality, you ain't seen war yet. Because they are cunning, they are strong, they are devious, and we don't do it in one prayer. And once the church rises up and gets hold of that, and God gives that discernment of a principality, and a church takes hold of that, it may take weeks of prayer and fasting and bombardment to bring that thing down. See, that's why headship in the family is so important. That the husbands and the fathers of the family could see the principalities that are affecting the family, the ancestral demons, and begin to wrestle with those things and bring them down off his family and break the hold of poverty and break the hold of strains of sickness and break the hold of failure, our problems with the children. All of that is a spiritual warfare, brethren. Hallelujah. And if we ever truly get hold of that and get out of our mindiness and begin to wrestle in the right realm, we'll see greater victory in our lives. But see, we watch too much TV. We read too much secular stuff, and it affects us, and we want to move in the carnal realm. We want to find carnal solutions, see, instead of spiritual solutions. And all our answers are in the Spirit. The kingdom of God is within us. It comes without observation. Hallelujah. And as the kingdom comes, there's always conflict. Because in essence, although it's a spirit world, can two things occupy the same space at the same time? In the spirit world, they can. But the kingdom of God, if it comes, truly comes, something's going to have to move out of the way. Amen. And anything that's going to move out of the way is going to resist moving. So the kingdom of heaven suffers what? Violence. and the violent take it by force. There's force involved. There's conflict involved. And most Christians don't want that. I went to a big convention a couple of weeks ago. One of the biggies there in Dallas, in the Fort Worth area. And I'll just tell you, it's Kenneth Copeland. And there were thousands there. And what I observed as I sit up there in the bleachers, so to speak, and saw all these people running with their $50 bills and all that stuff, the whole show, you know, the singing and the testifying and the celebrities and the whole nine yards was this. I saw passivity in the people. I saw that they wanted to be entertained. They wanted somebody to do it for them. Somebody pray for me. Somebody prophesy. You get the word of God for me. And let me sit here and I'll run down the aisle with my $50 bill then. I'll buy it. But see, that's not the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians. That we all exercise. See, we've got to get out of this passivity spectator thing. And see, television has created that mentality in the mind of just shutting down and being passive and just be, you know, entertained and just absorb things and just by some kind of osmosis. And we don't have to really exert any energy for anything. And that's where we are. See? And so, that's got to change in the true church. Everybody's a minister. See? And you've got to get free enough that you in turn then can be equipped to prophesy and move in the gifts. All the nine gifts, everybody ought to move in them at least one time or another. See, everybody ought, those gifts are not just for church meetings. They're for our everyday life. Amen? I mean, when I can't find something, which is often, because my office is kind of compact, I just say, Lord, I need a word of wisdom here. Now, where is this thing? Where is this thing? And I'll find stuff every time with a word of wisdom. This works all the time. See, or if I need somebody calls me, Lord, I need a word of knowledge here for this person. You know, and wisdom will come, and it will for you if you'll stir yourself up in the gifts. Well, I'm off track here now. I've got to get back on track. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now, so we've got to keep our armor on because we're at war. And when you go out of here, and I pray that those that have already gone out will go with their armor on. Hallelujah. Stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. Now, we've got to understand a few things to keep our deliverance. First of all, understand that everything must be based upon the Word of God. Everything. If you'll stand on that Word, you'll not be moved. If you'll get hold of that Word, you'll not be moved. And stand on it. Amen? So we gird our loins or our waist. It says waist in the New King James. I like loins better. Because that's the place of our strength. That's the place of the seed. God throughout the Bible has always sought to protect the seed. Because the theme throughout the whole Bible is the seed. The seed. The seed, until we come to this incorruptible seed, which we are, which has been put in us, and we're coming forth as a generation of prophets, priests, and kings because of the seed. And that's why he speaks to the loins first and girding them about with the truth. Amen? So, that'll keep you from being deceived more than anything to stay in the Word, the truth, see. We don't base our victory on emotions. We don't base our victory on circumstances, symptoms, on what you see. You stand on God's Word. Amen. Now, in a little bit it talks about the sword. And the sword is, we gird our loins. And usually on the loins, there's the sheath for the sword. So it carries the sword. You pull the sword out, and we have this picture of the armor of the sword not being in the sheath, but the sword being in the hand, always ready to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And that's our aggressive instrument there. All right? So we got the sword. We got the truth. The sword is the Word of God, of course. Same thing. All right, now what's the next? The breastplate of righteousness, the shield. Now, important point. Understand this, that eventually you're going to have to operate on your faith. See? Our faith will get you delivered, but our faith won't keep it for you. When you walk out of here, it's your faith that's got to start operating. Now, that's what I love about deliverance. God will let my faith deliver somebody. Sometimes when they don't have it. It's a faith ministry. See, people say, well, I'm in a faith church. Well, so am I. I'm a faith man. That's the way I can cast out devils. It's faith. But I don't see things like some people do. I don't see angels like Brother Jack does. I don't see these things, except in the spirit. I sometimes just know what I know, but I don't have a picture per se. I just feel them going. I don't know how to explain it to you. I see them in a way, but in a way I don't see them. Understand? See? But I've got great faith, and my faith is increasing for this, and yours will too. But understand that when, after you've been delivered, your faith is going to keep you delivered. You're going to have to stand in faith, calling the things that aren't as though they were. Amen? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, see, a lot of us, because we got so turned off by the faith stuff and the word stuff and the prosperity stuff, we threw the baby out with the bathwater. But praise God, I learned faith. I learned the message of faith from Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and Charles Capps. I learned faith from those men. And I'm telling you, there's an anointing still on them if they'll stay in their anointing to minister that in that realm. Kenneth Copeland can impart faith when he teaches. I believe his primary calling is a teacher. Hallelujah. And he can impart faith if he'll teach faith. Hallelujah. See? All right. So, if you need to, go back and review some of your faith. All right. Now, if you lose your deliverance, don't come and blame me. See? Hallelujah. Somebody will call and say, Brother Bell, you know, you prayed for me, and boy, everything's been so good, but now it's all back. Well, one of the questions I always like to ask people is where you've been going to church? Now let me say this, and that's one of the problems I know. That's one of the problems. Where do you go to church? Well, you're just not going to, most of you are not going to be able to find a church like this. You're just not going to be able to. And I understand that. And I really don't have the final answer to that, because you can't just go out here and float by yourself either. Or the enemy will eat your lunch. You need to be under authority of some sort. And it's difficult to be under authority long range. We've had some people, we've got some people now that they send tithes to us. There's very few. I haven't encouraged that. But just unusual circumstances. And don't hear me promoting you to do this, okay? I'm not trying to promote this to us. But I'm saying that I believe that wherever you go, that there's a place at least where you can worship the Lord, and it might be in a house. It doesn't have to have a steeple. In fact, I'd prefer that it wouldn't. Once you find out what steeples really mean, you want to go chop every one of them down like I do. Anyway, I was just thinking this morning of how. And it seems like in the last couple of years, there's a validity coming to this. And I just feel you know, that this is so valid, so right. And I want you to know that I've struggled for, you know, 7 years almost, just really getting it settled in my spirit that it was God, because I've had attacks in my mind that this was not scriptural, and that all those things have happened. And as you go home, you that are new, those attacks are going to come. See, one of the reasons I believe that Jesus told people when they, after he healed them, to go tell no man, is because of the unbelief that's in man. And if you go out telling about a healing the wrong people, they'll often talk you out of your healing and you'll lose it. Now, the Gadarene demoniac, he told to go tell. I don't think you can lose your deliverance quite that way, but there's a lot of unbelief out there, and if you go sharing it and listening to people, you'll lose your faith in the most important ministry of the hour. See? And in turn, you could lose your deliverance and let the demons back in. So you might keep that in mind. I think we ought to proclaim it, but not listen to the gainsayers and the sons of Belial out there that will never submit to this ministry because of what's in them. And the very people that are arguing that Christian can't have a demon, it's the demons in them that are arguing it. And so just keep that in mind, that you're listening to a demon that's, you know, speaking against the things of God, the precious things. I believe deliverance is one of the ways that God is drawing out his elect, like Gideon's army. Because I also know that there's no use debating this. There's no use debating whether or not a Christian can have a demon. You get it by revelation. And if the revelation doesn't come, you might as well just talk to a stump, because they're not going to see it. The intellect will not apprehend this. And see, we got too many Gnostics today in the church. Even the charismatics have become Gnostics, which simply means that if I can apprehend something by my intellect, that I've got my salvation through that, see. And there's a tendency of us to want to apprehend things with our intellect. And I've been an intellectual man. I considered myself a scholar. I was a valedictorian and all those sorts of things. And I always wanted to apprehend things in the logical systems of my mind. In fact, I thought that the Lord was going to have me minister a whole series here on the mind. I've taught a lot on deliverance of the mind. Maybe sometime the Lord lets us come back, we'll do that. Incidentally, I want to say one thing, that Brother Glenn, anytime we can come back, Brother, you just let us know. Because praise God. Just say that. Hallelujah. Yeah, never again. Never again. I know. I really mean that. The other day when I realized that I'd practically grown up here. And this is more of a home to me than as far as a place of ministry than any place I've got. Because we've never been rooted there in Dallas. God has kept us there, but he hasn't rooted us there. We've never felt roots going down. I feel more roots here as I've come back than I feel there. I don't even want to go home, to tell you the truth. I'm tired of those principalities in Dallas. Everybody needs to come to the Lord and pray and say, God, speak to me about these things, see. But little by little, you know, we're trying to come out and not be conformed to this world so God can transform us. Because this kingdom living, brethren, and I'm way off track, I don't care. This kingdom living is a lifestyle. And if it doesn't get out into our lifestyle, then forget it. That's right. I've been amazed sometimes at brothers that are in deliverance to go into their homes. And they preach these things about idolatry and all that, and we didn't get on it this time, did we? Hope we don't have to get on today. Praise God. And then go in their homes, and here's all this junk. And I says, Lord, something's wrong here. Something's not getting home with them. Now look, if this won't get home with you, forget it. You're going to lose your deliverance. If you're not going to take this home and it's not going to affect your lifestyle, then you didn't get much. Can you hear me? I mean, you ought to, if you've got some deliverance like I think some of you did, when you walk in your house, when you get home, you're going to say, whoa, few things around here are going to have to change. And you pray about it. I don't want to put you under bondage, but there's probably some things hanging on your wall, stuck away in your dresser drawers, hidden away in the closet that need to be burned or smashed. And the Holy Spirit will show you. Amen? There's probably some jewelry you need to get rid of. Here we go. And some books you need to burn. And some other souvenirs that you got. Yeah, yeah, some souvenirs. See, I used to get souvenirs. Indian artifacts and all that stuff invite demons into your home. And you wonder why, you know, well, we just can't get with it, see. It attracts these demon spirits. And the Holy Spirit will show you, and some of the stuff will be strange. I mean, we had a real thing about 3 months ago with a baby blanket that she'd had made for her since she was a little girl. Didn't even realize it was in the house. Didn't even realize that it was in a chest made by her father, who was an alcoholic. And didn't realize that she stuck it right by her side of the bed, there in the bedroom. And we opened that thing up, dug down in it, and there in the bottom was that baby blanket. And we pull it up, and guess what it had on it? Birds and owls. And we had us a barbecue. You can't burn outside in Dallas, but you can barbecue, so we barbecued a baby blanket. Hallelujah. And see, things like this are going to help you keep your deliverance, to walk this thing out. Because part of the armor is gospel shoes. The shoes are the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that has to do with our walk. And deliverance is a walk. It's not an event. Now, we had some events here. Hallelujah. Had some real events. But I'm not impressed until we get up off the floor and see how we're going to walk. And if it won't walk out, then the event was a fluke. Amen? Okay. Preparation of the gospel of peace. All right. Now, so, lifestyle. Now, I don't believe God's calling us to be a bunch of kooks, to draw attention to ourselves, see? That's not what it means to be a peculiar people, to be some kind of a kook that draws attention, see? Because I think, you know, we're like salt. You put salt on food and you don't necessarily see it. But it sure does change the flavor of food, see. So, lifestyle. Now, a kingdom, see, is a principality. So, when we live in the kingdom, we're living under a principality, so to speak. And that principality, of course, is the Lord. And the word kingdom has to do with the reign of a king. And if there's no king, there's no kingdom. And also, even if there is a king, if there's not subjects that are subject to that king's decrees, there's still no kingdom. So if you claim to be kingdom people, then there's going to be a king involved under whose subject you come and who you submit to and follow his decrees. And there are his decrees written down plainly for all to see. And that's what makes us kingdom people. Hallelujah, when we live in a kingdom. All right. Now, when we put on those gospel shoes, we need to begin to realize how this thing comes. How does deliverance come? Well, that's kind of a tricky question. But brethren, it's a gift. You got delivered because of the grace of God. There's nothing you did to earn getting delivered. Now, this is important. Listen to me. There's not a thing that qualified you for deliverance except the blood of Jesus. Now, I know that there are situations where demons won't leave because of objects that you might possess. because they've got grounds. That sort of thing will happen. But primarily, I want you to know that deliverance is a gift of God, freely given by His grace, and you didn't deserve it, but we got it anyway. Can you hear that? All right, it's a charismata. It's a gift of grace. It comes through God, from God through Jesus, and it may initially come by the faith of another, so it's freely given. Hallelujah. Now, next point. Understand that you will be tested. If you got, and a lot of you, I've never seen as many people at one time get delivered of rejection. I've never seen so much deliverance of rejection in one room as I saw yesterday. And I, of course, I'm sure that maybe there's places where it's been, but I've just never seen the Spirit of God move like He moved yesterday to deal with rejection. And last night, we saw the fruits of it in what was flowing here in the meeting, the love, see? Because rejection takes away that ability to love, to move in love. Hallelujah. And I've always said the real power of deliverance is love. Boy, that's what breaks demons, right, quicker than anything, is love. So understand that you will be tested, brother. That, as Jesus said, the demon goes out of a man, walks about dry places, seeking rest, finding none, comes back to his house. So every demon that left is going to come back and check out the house. And if he finds it just swept and garnished, empty, he's going to come back in with seven more, worse than himself. All right? So something needs to go in that house. That's why it's such a wonderful balance to have deliverance here and then have a brother like Brother Tommy get up last night and feed us some word. See, because that's what you need to go in there and begin the work of transformation. Praise God. Praise God. What a word. Good word last night. Good word. I got fed and blessed and strengthened and learned. And praise God for that word. So you need to get the word. Hallelujah. Now, the area that we're talking about here is the area of the mind, the helmet. Put on the helmet of salvation. Because what's going to happen here is that you're going to go back under the principalities that you live under. And they're going to seek to seduce you to fall back in your old patterns. See? So go back with the thought in mind that there's some patterns and habits and things that I need to change. I need to break up some things here. See, I'm guilty of this. I've been fighting this here lately, see. I've had a real go-around with my weight. I was down 25 pounds this time last year, and I went through a real thing. You know, I told you a little bit about summer, and I lost the victory. I was jogging and working out, and boy, I was toned. I got where I could run 2 miles without even really huffing and puffing, and got my weight down and was really feeling great. And I kind of lost the battle, and things just kind of crumbled on me. And I've always had the pattern, see, whenever I was under stress or anxious, to eat, to comfort myself, see, oral comfort. So I start putting these soft, smooth, creamy, succulent, spicy things in this place right here, see. And it started to, you know, spreading out right here. And so it's been a constant battle with me. And I'm going to get the total victory because the reason I got some things on principalities, the Lord showed me that one of the problems of people overweight is principalities. Don't know really what that means yet. But when you go back now under your principalities that you've been living under, realize that the attack will be on the mind. See, Satan's got to, he's got to deceive your mind to get back in. He's got to, he can only come in through deceit, but he's slick. He's sly, he's cunning, and he'll coax you to let him, oh, you know, one more time won't hurt. I mean, after all, you went down there, you made some rash promises, and you got maybe carried away emotionally and so forth, and you don't have to get in a hurry about this. I mean, one or two more times now that you're back, and then you can quit this and give this up, but don't get in a rush about it, you know. Don't be so severe on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself. That's what he tells us. And the moment we let the guard down, he comes right back in. And there we are. And the next time, it's seven times harder to get the victory. Ask anybody that's been delivered of cigarettes. Ask anybody that's been delivered of cigarettes and then start smoking again and then try to get free again. It's a lot harder. A whole lot harder. Seven times harder. Now, there are some people that have strong self-wills, and we don't want to confuse that with deliverance. But if you're going to run into some dude, you're going to go and tell him, boy, I got delivered. I never had a problem with that. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. And for some of you that are new to this thing, there are people, see, I couldn't understand why some of these so-called faith people seem to have it. Until I saw some of them fall apart in my office. And what I found was here that they'd get in this thing and they confess the word, 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 hallelujah, confess the word, confess the word, confess the word. And what they were doing, they were suppressing their demons by sheer willpower. I call it the beach ball theory. And they were throwing these beach balls under the water. And every once in a while, see, they'd one of them would get loose and up it'd come, see. And they'd manifest. They'd lose their temper or they'd fall into lust. And see, a lot of ministers, the reason a lot of ministers have fallen into adultery is they've taken that lust and instead of getting deliverance, because a Christian can't have a demon, I've had guys stand right there and tell me that and look at my wife and lust for her. I see the lust in her eyes. I've seen it. Telling me that he can't have a demon. And see one looking out of his eyes. See? And see, that sheer willpower, and they're walking around like this, and they're, as Win Willie says, they're walking time bombs. And eventually, that thing's going to manifest, and there you go. Well, they put him back under. And what a life to live. There's no liberty in that. That's not liberty. See? That's not liberty at all. Okay, so the attack of the principalities on the mind. Now, when you go under a principality, brethren, like I said, you can bind that thing off of you. You may not bring him down, but you can bind him off of you, keep him out of your house, and then when you go out among his domain, you have to resist him. There's been times that we've had nothing to do, believe it or not. God just shut us down for a while, and I got a word that said, I'll put you on a sabbatical, because we burned out. And that's one reason we got ripped off. We got burned out, and made us vulnerable, and we got deceived. So God just set us down, and we had some quiet time. And so we'd go out, and we'd say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So we go to a shopping center, you know, one of these big malls. Well, they got some Lulus in Dallas. One of them got four levels. I mean, it was ice skating rinks and everything. And we go out there and just walk around. And inevitably, you buy something. You come home with something you don't need. I get home and say, I spent $20. $30. $40. Why? I got seduced. It's a principality. It's a spirit, see, seduction. See? And that's how principalities are. Hallelujah. So they work on our mind, and we have to learn to resist them. We have to discern them and then resist them. Okay, where did I put my glasses? Hallelujah. Now, let's finish this up. Now, remember this, brethren. The way the enemy is going to seek to come back is that you are going to begin to experience the symptoms of what you got delivered of. All right? You're going to start feeling the same feelings that you felt before. You're going to feel like that it hasn't left. That's the way it comes back in a lot of ways, okay? You may feel that rejection. You may feel that hurt. You may feel that pressure of lust or something again. And you'll say, oh, no. You may feel the pain. Say, brother, I got healed last night. The pain's gone. I mean, my throat, I'm healed. I'm here, see. Now, when I first woke up this morning, there was, laid there, and I said, praise God, I'm healed, praise the Lord, thank you, Father. And then all at once, after I got out of the shower, a little pain got in there. I said, uh-oh, no way, Jose, get out of here. Go, in the name of Jesus, you're a liar. See, the symptom wanted to come back. Now, remember this. Don't ever admit that you got it back. See, this is where the devil comes in. The symptom will come back, and you say, oh, I guess I didn't get delivered. I must still have it. And once you open your... See, this is the problem right here. And the moment you open your mouth and admit or confess that you've got it, you've opened the door for him to come back in. Now, I'm not talking something senseless and irrational here, but what I'm saying is the symptom is not the disease. I think Doc can bear me out in this. A symptom is the indication of the disease, but it's not the disease itself. So you can have the symptom of the demon and not have the demon. He's on the outside trying to get in, impressing your mind with the symptom, but you don't have to let him back in. Am I making any sense at all? See? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. And see, now this is basic faith teaching. You understand? Basic faith teaching. Calling the things that aren't as though they were. I am free of that. Hallelujah. Although the feeling, as Doc says, and the impression is that it's still there. Now, so you walk it out. Now, if you go for weeks and a few weeks and it's still there, then maybe there is a problem. But at least attempt to walk out in faith a victory. You hear me? I've seen people that maybe didn't really get the deliverance at the moment, but because they girded themselves up in faith and began to walk it out, the demon left. I have seen people we prayed for that didn't get delivered for 2 or 3 days. And all at once they'd call me up and say, Brother Bell, what's wrong with me? I've been vomiting all day. I said, praise God. What do you mean, praise God? That's deliverance. Oh. Jesus prayed. Paul prayed. Paul prayed one time for the girl, and it didn't come out at the moment. If you read it closely. Well, what did it say? In the same hour? Something like that? See? So, if you'll mount up in faith and say, praise God, I'm going to appropriate that in faith. I receive that in faith. A lot of times the demon will leave. Say, praise God. They won't say praise God. They say, well, there's no use staying here. See? So, don't confuse the feeling with fact. Amen? That's important. And this is all in the area of the helmet of salvation. Keep your helmet on of salvation. And the word salvation includes deliverance and healing. You know, and even if you get a physical symptom, if it's a pain or a swelling or something of that nature, just refuse the symptom. Just refuse the symptom and say, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I'm free, I'm healed, and I stand on that, and I refuse to believe the feeling or the symptom. Amen? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise the Lord. Now, praise God. Now, the breastplate. Let's talk about the breastplate for a minute. Brethren, we've already touched on this. Understand where the battleground really is. See, it's not in flesh and blood. You don't have to fight on the enemy's ground. See, he'll try to pull you into his ground and fight you in his area. And any good general knows that if he can choose the battleground, that he's got a far greater percentage hope of winning. He fights on his ground, not on the enemy's ground, see? See, it's standard knowledge that in football and basketball, that if you can play at your home court, you win more games at home than you do on the road. Okay? So, you don't have to fight on his ground. You don't have to let him get you there. You choose the ground. For instance, don't wait until you're on the hospital bed to start praying to get healed. Last Monday night, these people flew us down to San Antonio, and we went to this hospital ward, and here was this lady dying of cancer. You know what she said? She said, well, I've been meaning to go up to... She'd gotten some Win Worley's books, and Win was the one that recommended us to go down there. And she says, I've been meaning for the last 5 years to get up there and get some ministry. Well, all at once, now she's on the hospital bed, and she's wanting to spend every penny she can to get anybody to fly down there and pray for her. But it's almost too late. I mean, the enemy, we're on his ground. Anytime I have to walk in a hospital, that's his ground. Now, this is our ground. Hallelujah, right here. And my prayer closet is my ground. And if I fight him in my prayer closet, I've got the edge. But if I got to wait till I'm in a courtroom or on a hospital bed or someplace like that, he's got the edge, so to speak, if you understand what I'm saying. We always have the edge in the blood of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we stay at war. We keep that breastplate of righteousness on. Now, how do we war? War is not always aggressive. It's also just walking in cleanness, walking in righteousness, of the righteousness of Jesus, walking in faith of that coming upon us, keeping our lives clean, keeping out of things. And brethren, that's going to keep you free. Hallelujah. Now, in addition to that, there's one thing that I know that a lot of people are lax in, and that's praying in tongues. Brethren, you ought to pray in tongues every day. All the time. All the time. All the time. When I go to the grocery store, I'm going down the aisle. When I'm driving the car, even with Linda, we're driving, and if we're not talking, we'll pray. We'd be listening to the radio, you know, listen to a tape or something, and we're praying. Pray. I can't emphasize enough. I'm amazed at how few spirit-filled believers really use their tongue. I mean, all day. Every day, when you go to bed, pray in tongues. When you get up, pray in tongues. When you go to the bathroom, pray in tongues. I've had some of my greatest revelations in that little room. I really have. I'll get in there and, I don't want to be crude. I get in there and, you know, get set down real good. And God says, I finally got you quiet where I can talk to you for a minute. But pray in the Spirit. It'll keep you freer than anything I know. It says praying always in the Spirit with all manner of prayer. And see, I don't have to think about that. I just pray in tongues. Sometimes my language will change. And brothers, sometimes get with it when you pray. Sometimes when you're up before the Lord praying, get with it. I mean, get with it. You know, it doesn't always have to be this. But especially if something's pressuring you, you know, and things aren't going right. I mean, get mad. Man, I get up and walk around. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. And something will happen. Get your spirit stirred up. Stir yourselves up. We don't stir ourselves enough in God. We'd move more in the gifts if we did. See, when I sit here in a meeting like this, and we're worshiping, I say, Lord, I make myself available. I'm going to stir myself up here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And boy, something of that fire will kindle. And I could have prophesied every meeting, but the Lord didn't tell me to. But I'm yielded to that. And that's for all of us. That's for all of us, brother. We've got to stir ourselves, though. Hallelujah. We've got to keep the pressure on that dude. And you know, when I was flying a lot, I used to fly, you know, professionally. And I just want to share something with you, if I can. I don't know how to explain it any other way. There's so many analogies to flying and the Christian walk, it's unbelievable. But I'd be flying cross country, and I'd be holding a heading. And now we have radios with needles. You don't have to fly the compass anymore. You've got what we call an omni, and It's a little needle, and if it gets off to the left, you fly to the left until the needle centers. If it gets off to the right, you just fly to the right until the needle centers. See, if you're, and you, we've got, there's airways all over the United States where you can fly. It's just like a highway in the sky. All right? But you'll be flying along there, you know, and that needle will start just drifting real slow. Real slow, and you fly along, and so you'll kind of test that rudder a little bit and to correct it. And you just touch it a little bit. You maybe stop, maybe drift a little more, you touch it. And what I finally found out was, instead of just trying to baby that thing, that when that needle drifted off a little bit, was just go ahead and make a positive, you know, 2.5-degree turn and fly that thing and make another turn and get it right on course. Instead of trying to nudge it around. And see, most believers do that. They drift along and things start drifting off a little bit and they say, well, and they kind of just touch a little bit. It drifts a little more, and they touch it a little bit, and pretty soon you're clear off course. Instead of saying, okay, we're off course, we're going to make a turn, get on course, and line it up. You understand what I'm saying? See, you go back home with victory, and things will start drifting a little bit. Now, what are you going to do? See, one little thing will happen. A check a bounce or something, you say, well, you know. No, wait a minute. The name of Jesus, come out of here, I rebuke you, Satan. I'm just using that as an analogy of poverty or prosperity, a poverty spirit that's been on you or something, and you've been wrestling this thing with money, see, and you get a victory or whatever it might be, and you go back, and you, if you just let it drift, if you don't stay at the controls and fly that thing, it'll fly you. Amen? Okay, yeah, into the ground. Because 1 degree off course, leaving Little Rock, and you'll never find Dallas. You'll end up in New Mexico or in the Gulf, but you'll never get to Dallas just 1 degree off, because by the time you get that far down the road, you'll be 100 miles off course. You'll never even be able to see Dallas. Amen? Now, the battle is in the spirit realm. What we see are the symptoms, but it's all decided in the spirit world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, what I want to do, in closing, I just like to give you an opportunity to ask the questions. Has anybody got any questions? Yeah, that's all I can say. People are blind sometimes to their own problems. The heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God can. And so many times, people, we see it all the time. And we just pray for them and do warfare for them if God leads us to. And a lot of times, under the ministry or something, they'll begin to see it. Yeah, they like it. I've got a teaching on that. See, Israel did that. They kept some of the demons because it was beneficial to them. I mean, some of these Philistines could do things. They could. Some of these Canaanites, see, were skilled. And Israel said, wow, we could use a few of these Canaanites. I mean, some of them can make weapons, and some of them can make jewelry. And we can let them work for us as our slaves. We can take their product and sell it. It'd be profitable to keep some of these Canaanites. And they did. And God said they become thorns in your side. And they did. And see, I'll just put the application there. Somebody that's in the sales field. And there's some skills in the sales field that aren't godly. Such as mind control, manipulation, and so forth. And see, I've seen guys wrestle with this. Well, if I really get turned on to this thing of deliverance and really, really get free, I won't be a good salesman anymore. Exactly. See, and what it is, it's a rebellion against trusting God. So, well, I just say, we'll keep the demons. Keep the demons. Or trust God. See? And all of us are going to have to deal with that. Are we going to keep our demonic skill? Or are we going to totally rely on God? There's a real line to cross there. A real line to cross there. Amen? Okay, I think you had your hand up first, sis. You hit a plateau? I don't quite understand your question. Always, I don't quite understand. Something always wants to... Well, everybody hits a plateau. Just like I've had this battle with the weight thing. I've had a lot of victories in my life through deliverance. But this is one area where I haven't broken through yet. I thought I had it last fall. I really thought I had it. I lost it. And so there's a plateau where, see, where I realized I didn't have it was this way. I realized that to keep this victory, my focus of my everyday had to be to keep slim. You understand? Now, every day I had to get up and say, okay, now today I can only eat this and this and this. And today I've got to run 2 miles, and I've got to work out. I've got to get my heart rate up for 15, 20 minutes to 145. And every day, my day got where it was around my weight. And I look back on that now, and I say, wait a minute, that is not victory. Because that thing became an idol. And I said, there's something better in God than that. And see, in Dallas now, it's aerobics. Boy, and I mean, they all got their suits and they're going to these classes. And I said, wait a minute, the world likes this. There's something wrong here. And so now we got Christian aerobics. And here we go, Christians. Whatever the world does, let's get into it. Now, there's a better way. There's a better way in Jesus Christ. Either he's the answer or I quit. He's the answer. He's the factor in every victory. Hallelujah. And I'm not looking for some secret so I can write a book and make $1 million either. Because I got a feeling that the secret to this thing is not going to be popular. Just like deliverance. See, the secret of our victories has never been popular. Or we'd be flooded. There's always a death involved. And that's never been very popular. Hallelujah. Who else? Brother, you had your hand right back there. Yes. The truth. Boy, the truth. Sometimes I've been reading the Word and something go, boom! I praise God! Praise God. You know, just, yeah, absolutely. Stay in the Word, brother. Stay in the Word. The truth will make us free. Hallelujah. There's no distance in the spirit world. And alcoholism is a spirit. It's not a disease. It's not a disease. It causes disease. But the world's cop-out is, oh, we got a disease. Well, now that makes it acceptable so we can deal with it and take the shame away from it. Let's take the shame away from the sin. See? So if it's someone you love or something, you can simply bind the spirits of alcoholism and pray in compassion. Pray in tongues. If you don't know how to pray, that's what that thing's for. You know, Lord, I just want to pray for this person in the name of Jesus. And according to Romans, you know, I don't know really how to pray as I ought. So, and just pray, hold them before you. God'll move. Yeah. Just wait. Don't quit. Yeah. I don't think you need to worry about that, sis. No. I just simply this one group there in Dallas is doing this. I'm not sure it's permeated the whole corporation. Yeah. Right. It's to sell their product, see, because they're having to compete now with long-distance service. So they were using it to get power to sell, because, see, they have to go into large corporations and sell them on long-distance service. And that, so we don't have to fear that sort of thing, brother. Well, first of all, I'd say this, that it's not how many hours a day we pray in tongues, because I think one of the reasons it says the mind is unfruitful when we pray in tongues is simply because we can pray in tongues and do something else. And just to have prayer language so we can go hide ourselves all day and pray in tongues is not the point of tongues. The point of tongues is that I can be doing anything and pray in tongues. The next point is, just because I read the Bible 11 times doesn't mean I got anything out of it. Because it comes by the spirit of revelation. And the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. I know one man's been studying the Bible 50 years. Every morning for 4 to 6 hours in the original languages, and he still hasn't seen the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So, God pity anybody like that. See? Yeah, yeah. And so the next point is that probably the Lord showed you something, brother, but there's not a lot you can do about it unless the Lord lays a burden on you to pray for the person. Yeah. But praise God, you say, well, you know, why would a person, you know, it's terrible, somebody like that might come here. Oh, praise God. This is where they need to be. You know? Hallelujah. Because there's order here and there's authority here. And perhaps that person might get some help. Reception? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's got to get where he wants it. Yeah. I wish we could just cast out the spirit of deception, don't you, Glenn? Hallelujah. We'd straighten everybody out. Hallelujah. Man, oh man. Let's see, this sister over here had her hand up. I would say you need a physical healing then. See, after the demons come in and begin to do his work, then the body begins to get out of kilter and manifest in the physical realm the damage. And then not only do we need to get the demon out, which is the root source of the physical problem, but then the healing needs to come. Yeah. Well, that's a battle we all have, but brethren, there is a point in this where there's just simply self-discipline. That's why we're given that fruit of the Spirit. And there's times that we just have to discipline our minds and discipline. We have to break our habits. And some of them are just rutted in, and it's painful. Boy, it's painful to the flesh to break a habit. Yeah? Yeah? Well, the one I use, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You know, and Christ, and some scriptures in like in Ephesians, that's Christ in me. And see, the other morning I was praying, a few weeks ago I was up early praying, and I'm not in bondage. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but the Lord, in my Bible study and prayer life, has led me by the Spirit. I'm not one of these routine persons that gets up every morning at 5:03 a.m. and prays until 7:32 a.m. you know, and all of that. I've never been able to be that way. Some people are, and I don't condemn that. But when I'm up till 3 or 4 in the morning ministering, which I am sometimes, I can't get up at 5 and pray and then function all day. And now there are times that I can, you understand. There's times that it demands it. But in general, you know, I need about 6-7 hours of sleep. So the Lord leads me. There's times the Lord will wake me up 4:30 in the morning. And boy, I just get up and pray and just have a glorious time for 3 or 4 hours. And then the next morning, the Lord may just let me sleep in. There's days that I'll go a day or two and I may read a scripture or two, but I'm not in the Word. And then, brother, something will get on me and something will come to me and I'll go in there and I'll devour that thing for 2 or 3 hours. I'll get my Strong's down and I'll get my Word studies out and I'll get me a pile of notes. And then I may not teach that for 2 or 3 months. And one day the Lord says, okay, go pull that out. But I'll get hungry for the Word. And I may snack along for a day or two, but then one day I may eat, you know, 2 or 3 big meals of the Word. See? Now, brother, you're going to have to feed yourself. And if you don't learn to feed yourself the Word, you're going to starve to death because you won't ever get enough in a deal like this. You're going to have to learn to feed yourself. Amen? Okay, and then, like I say, we're going to have to learn to come into this discipline and say, Lord Jesus, your strength in me, your strength in me can do it, Lord. And so the other morning I was praying, and the Lord just kind of, I don't do this often, but the Lord kind of, I've been praying in tongues, and the Lord just kind of gave me a prophecy for myself, you know, just, I just want to encourage you and strengthen you, to, you know, and I just speaking it out, you know. And sometimes you'll do that. You'll interpret your own tongue. You ought to pray to do that. And I was praying along there. And I got done with that. And all at once, I got the revelation of where the Lord is. And I looked down there and I said, Lord, you're right in there, aren't you? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in there. In there. Jesus here. He's in there. Boy, well, and you know, it seems so simple to some of you, but it was a revelation to me. I knew that up here, but all at once, I realized that I'm a temple. And when I walk around, here's the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ is in me. And the whole secret to this thing is to you. To you. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Rise up in me. Rise up in me. Oh, Ark of God. When the Ark would go out, they'd say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. See? So here I go. Hallelujah. He's in you. He's in you. Praise God. Hey, brother. Good question. I think so. I think so. You know, I think a wife nagging her husband about, you know, one of the most intimidating things I think you can say to anybody is in some settings. Now, if you get in the right setting, it might be appropriate. But some of the most tense moments that Linda and I've ever had is when we get a little ticked off at each other and we start telling one another what deliverance means. And then I start manifesting the very thing that I probably need to get rid of. But it probably strengthens it, you know, in some ways. But I've seen people in deliverance abuse this thing. You know, it's going around. And see, what happens when you get to flowing in this, you get discernment. You begin to get discernment. But then the question is, what do you do with it? You got to have wisdom with this. You see things. And you learn that it's none of your business. Just leave it alone. You haven't been called to deal with that. See? Unless that person comes to you or something, or God moves in a service or something, leave it alone. And understand, you know, that you got to love that person in spite of their demons. Hallelujah. And it makes it easier for me to love them when I know that it's demons. That it's not the real person that's really there. It's a vessel that's got something in it. Unclean. So this thing, I've seen it really abused. And see, brother, that's why it's taken these years to kind of get this thing where it is. It's been so abused and out of balance in some regards. A lot of people have turned away from it because of that. Hallelujah, brother. Yeah, well, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we got to understand that the temple is a three-part thing. It's outer court, holy place, holiest of holies. And the dwelling place of God was in the holiest of holies in that temple. And so the priest moved in all the other realms in that temple. And as Brother Lee Ellenwood, when he taught here a few years ago, I still got his notes. And he was talking about how when the priest would bring the oil in, that sometimes he'd get a little dust in it. Or, you know, it'd get a little contaminated. And that was the oil they used, and that's why in Zechariah, it talks about, Zechariah, that Tommy was using last night of the two olive trees, where the flow would be golden oil. It wouldn't even have to be carried in where it could be contaminated. It'd flow right out of the tree into the lampstand. See? So, any area where man moves about can be contaminated. So, the same way with our soul and our outer court, our body. That's the realm primarily where the demons can move, although they can, we realize now, affect and wound the spirit of a man. Yeah. Right. Two times he cleansed the temple. Right. Ezekiel. Yeah. Written all the filthy things on the walls and things in the very temple. So, see, I like what I heard Brother Frank say. I had him get on a television program. By the way, God's been real good to us. We were invited to do a TV program. The very man that kicked me off the radio and now has a TV station in Dallas, a Christian TV station. And I felt impressed to go down because Frank Hammond was coming. and asked him to interview Frank on, he's got his own program on his own TV station, figures. And so I went down and I asked him, I said, Brother Thomas, I said, you know, we've had some things and I forgive you and I hope you forgive me. And we made up. And I said, I believe you ought to have Brother Frank Hammond on your program because of the influence he's had on the body of Christ, whether you think it's bad or good. And he said, well, I've been wanting to have him. So I said, good. So we set a date, and we couldn't do it live because of scheduling, but we taped an hour program with Brother Frank Hammond and this brother interviewing him. It was a good interview, and Brother Frank made a point on that program. He said, you know, the reason we're having trouble with this question, because it wasn't an issue in New Testament days, whether or not a Christian can have a demon. That's not even the issue. See, but the devil's used that to get us focused on that, to get us off balance and question it. But it wasn't an issue with Jesus. Wherever he found a demon, he cast it out. But it was the children's bread, see. He said it was the children's bread, did he not? And that to not take this ministry and cast it to the dogs, who were the outsiders. So Jesus himself very specifically said, this is for the church, this is for Israel, not for the outsiders, see. And so it's so clear, but the enemy's made an issue out of it. And we've learned to quit addressing it. Just go do what we got to do, see, and quit getting drawn off in debates about it. Yeah. Well, that's not what that scripture means, though. You can tell them that. They said, how can bitter and sweet come out of the same fountain? That's what James says. Yeah, that thing ought not to be, brother. But the fact of it is, it does. See, they've misinterpreted the scripture. I don't know what the other one is. Can't dwell in the same house. Well, that's just a logical reasoning, see, not understanding the spirit world. Well, he was there in the synagogue when Jesus was in the synagogue, I tell him. Went down there in Mark 1 and preached, and the first rattle out of the box, the demon talks. You know. So, Jesus was in the synagogue, and the devil was in the synagogue too, see. Right there in Mark 1. Just show it to him. Just got it, brother. Yeah, amen. Well, I want to tell you, I hope bless you, but the man said, Brother Bell, I'd like for you to be on my program. I said, well, I didn't come for that. And he said, well, I'd really like to. And I said, well, what we talk about? And he said, let's just talk about the church and things. And I said, okay. So we scheduled a date about a month later, and I went down, we did the program live, and we got there on the air. And this man, I thought we were just going to talk about the unity in the church and the body and so forth. And we get to talk. He said, Brother Bell, the Lord's used you a lot in deliverance around this city, hasn't he? I said, yeah. He said, I'll tell you what. He says, and he opened his Bible to Mark 5, the Gadarene demoniac, laid it over my lap. And he said, just sit here and teach us on Mark 5 for a while. I said, okay. And he says, I'll tell you what, we're going to open up the phone lines. I said, well, praise God, you know. And they had three cameramen there doing the show live, and one lady running back there, you know, running around the back. And the moment he said that, the phones, they had 20 phones in there, and I think all of them started ringing. And there wasn't anybody answering the phones but one woman. So he said, I tell you what, you men on the camera, we had a music break, he said, you men on the camera, lock the cameras down, which means just to set them in space, place, and go in there and get on the phone. And it was up for grabs for about, for the whole hour. I mean, people called, suicidal, and everything. And I offered the little book, Breaking Free, anybody that would request it. We are still, that was in May, we are still getting requests from that program for the book. Within a week, we had over 100 calls. I mean, there's a hunger out there. And the next day, another brother called me and said, he didn't even see the program. He said, and coming home that night, the Lord said, I'm going to open a door for you. Praise God. The next day, a man called me, hadn't seen the program. And he said, Brother Bell, he said, I have got a TV program on every cable network in the Dallas Metroplex. And the next 2 weeks, I don't have any guests. And God told me to put you on every program. And within 2 weeks, we had made 8 television tapings of on deliverance. I mean, gut-level stuff. Soul ties, unforgiveness, sins of the fathers. and the whole nine yards. And now every day in the Dallas Metroplex, we're on some cable teaching deliverance. Every day, deliverance is going out. And there's three major cable networks in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And God just opened that door for us. And then he said, the Lord has said, we're going to put you on satellite. That's what God has spoken. He says, it'll go up on satellite. And see, I had renounced all of that thing. And finally I repented and said, God, you do whatever you want to do. And I opened myself up to the Lord. And God, in spite of me, is doing a mighty thing. This same man called me and he said, Brother Bell, he says, if you want a program on our station, I believe you ought to have one. And so we're just waiting on somebody to underwrite it. You know, and I'm not asking for money. Now, don't hear me. Somebody, if anybody does it, they ought to do it in that area. But I think it's, what was 500 for 30 minutes, which is cheap. That's production and everything. To do it live, we could do it live, see. But I'm believing God's going to have somebody rise up there in the Dallas area and underwrite that. And if we ever go on live at once a week, we'll have more than we can say grace on. Because, boy, there is a hunger. The people are getting disgusted with this hyper-faith thing. It's not working. They're getting scared. They're getting desperate. And some of this big church stuff, the remnants out there, and God's going to have his remnant. Out of all that mess, it's going to come. Out of that harlot, it's going to come. It's going to come. You had something else? Yeah, that's what he told me. He said, it won't cost you a dime. And it hadn't cost me a penny. And so we're on, sometimes we're on three, four times a day. And we get calls, you know, people wanting books and things and so forth. So it's going out, brother. It's going out. So, hallelujah. Well, I see it's 25 after 12. And time's a wasting. What I believe the Lord would have us do, if there's any of you need some prayer, we'll just try to take you individually. We won't be able to sit down and get into a lengthy deliverance. But there's some others of us here. But we'd be glad to pray with any of you. I think mostly the work of the Lord's been done that he wanted to accomplish in this camp. I really do. I believe that last night, praise God, it was his glory. The anointing of the Lord has just been so wonderful. But there may be some of you that need some little cleanup areas and so forth, or maybe something that you just want to get settled or so forth, and we want to stay here and pray with you for that. And we'll be in no hurry. We'll linger as long as we need to. We're not even planning on going back to Dallas tonight. We're going to just rest in a day or two, maybe go down to the park and camp out or something. So the Lord bless you. Okay. All right. Father, we thank you today. We again thank you for this time we've had together, Lord. Father, how could we ever give you thanks? Lord, I thank you that you've honored your word like you have in our midst. Thank you, Father, for the agreement that's been here, the unity in the Spirit. Father, I thank you for those that you've brought here from far away and for the work that you've done and the testimony that they carry now. Lord God, we thank you and praise you. Now, Father, as we come to break bread, we ask you to bless that food and we receive it gratefully and thankfully. And as we travel to our various places, Lord, we pray for traveling protection, mercy, and grace. And Lord, give us the wisdom, Father, now. I pray for wisdom. I pray, Father, to seal the ministry, not only of everyone that's here, but all those that have been and gone. To seal that work. And Lord, I pray that nothing would stop it until what's been begun would be complete. That's your promise, Lord, that what you've begun, you will complete. And I pray, Father, that some of these that will need more ministry will be able to come back here or find the resource to get that work completed in them, Father, without the hindrances of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that blood covering. Lord, I pray for wisdom. I pray that the fruits of the Spirit might begin to be released in a greater measure in all of our lives. And Lord, we leave our peace and our blessings upon this campground as we go, because we've been received in peace. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.